Hi, I'm Eric Dalma, pastor at Gospel of Grace Fellowship, and I'm in studio along with Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, Bob DeWay. We both want to welcome you here to Critical Issues Commentary Radio, where we dig into the great doctrines of the faith revealed verse by verse through the scriptures, and where we teach you how to contend for the faith once for all, handed down to the saints. Well, Bob, it's great to be with you again here in studio, and you and I have been working through Colossians chapter 2. We just finished verse 22. And we're going now on to verse 23, where we're going to see again that this homemade religion made by men, where ascetic practices are used to make us supposedly more appealing to God, are really of no avail against sinful desires, are they?
That's what it says.
Yeah.
Let me read the text from the new RSV.
Right.
Because I thought it really brought out the Greek well in this verse. It says, Colossians 2:23, these, now that's those rules we talked about,
yep,
have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-imposed piety, humility, and severe treatment of the body, but they are of no value in checking self-indulgence.
Wow.
So I think that's a good translation. I chose it because it brought out some ideas here in the Greek that I think we need to understand.
Right. Now, one of the things I was going to ask you, Bob, is in the LEB here, it talks about, it says, which things have to be sure, an appearance of wisdom. And I know a lot of times in the ancient Near East and in the areas around Corinth, etc., people did boast in having wisdom, and people still do today. But what's interesting is the wisdom that many people have really doesn't end up making them right before God. It's a man-made wisdom that ultimately comes from the demonic realm. And I just wanted you to comment on that, Bob, because you helped me see that in the book of Corinthians. This wisdom isn't true wisdom, is it?
No, it just looks like it.
Right.
Or it seems like it.
Right.
Interestingly, the Greek, the word is just logos.
Sure.
Which is word. But we know that it's negative because it says here it doesn't have any value.
Right.
So, which is a word, or you could translate it in this kind of context, reputation of having, present active participle, wisdom in self-chosen piety. We're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
So, what's probably going on here is they, in their society, in Asia Minor, these ideas had a reputation of working.
Right.
This is good. You know, every society has their own version of wisdom.
Right.
Aphorisms.
Yeah.
Which are wise sayings.
Yeah.
Their own little proverbs.
Right.
We have them in America.
Early to bed, early to rise.
Yeah, every single society has them.
Right.
And they're interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So these ideas in Colossae and that part of Asia Minor had this sort of status.
Right.
It's what everybody assumed to be true.
Yeah.
Okay, because of their human wisdom.
Yeah.
Okay, so it had a reputation of wisdom. And I made a little note here. Reputation of wisdom. Here's what I said about it. We are easily deceived by these ideas.
Right.
We think being more strict is always a good thing.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Right.
It's not God's wisdom.
Right.
And that's what deceives people. I remember a thing that came out when I was in my 20s, and it had a huge impact. Yeah. It was called Basic Youth Conflicts Seminar.
Okay.
And people followed this, and it was really strict. And you'd have to go to the big convention center and listen to all this. It was all promoted on a screen on a big overhead.
Yeah.
And here's this, and here's this, and here's this. All of these things happen, sort of a reaction against the hippie era.
Okay.
And the Christians had to be legalistic.
Oh, sure.
And this is the way it's going to go. This is the way it's going to go. This is the way it's going to go.
Right.
And that influenced a lot of people.
Right, right.
Who just thousands of people went to that.
Yeah.
The group I was in required us to all go to it.
Okay.
But one thing that it did was it reinforced the authoritarianism of the shepherding movement.
Okay.
You have to obey. There's this chain of command that they taught.
Right.
The guy who started his name is Bill Gothard.
Sure.
Some people have heard of him. He ended up starting a thing in Wisconsin. It became a cult.
Right, right.
And I heard testimony from people who got out of it. It wasn't easy.
Right.
It's really gone astray badly. Yeah. But it was not right. But it was this sort of teaching
yes.
that we're seeing here, Colossians 2:23. Some of you that are over 60 and you've been a Christian a long time, you probably remember the Bill Gothard seminar.
Sure.
Here's how you do all these things.
Right.
That was a problem. It was very much like this. But it fooled people because it seemed very, very pious.
Right.
And it was easy for us to believe that what we knew,
yeah,
the rebellious 60s and the hippies and hang out and don't let anybody tell you what to do and
yeah.
don't trust anybody over 30.
Right, right.
That philosophy is going to have a short shelf life.
Right.
Because you're going to be 30.
Yeah. yeah, good point.
You know, but, so this was a reaction to that.
Yeah.
But what we need is what is taught by Christ and his apostles.
Amen.
We have what we need.
That's right.
And we don't need to enhance it with man-made rules.
Right, right.
And we don't need to change it, supposedly based on science or somebody did a survey and people that did this got this outcome.
Right.
It's man-made wisdom.
Exactly.
We need to go by what it says here.
Right. You know, Bob, what's interesting, too, is I think about the issue in Asia Minor. Here the Colossians are worried about their fate being controlled by the demonic realm. And we think that, well, that's just that era. But what's interesting is you see that in America today. You see people checking horoscopes. They'll check spiritual advisors. They don't have, you know, different buildings don't have floors that go up to 13 or they skip 13 because it's an unlucky number.
Yeah.
Those types of ideas. So people are still trying to manipulate the cosmos in order to find protection. But I remember one day in a sermon, you had said something very wise. You said, the cosmos or the world doesn't care about you, but who does care about yeah. you is this God who
nature
sent
doesn't care about you.
Right. It was nature. That's how you said it. Yeah.
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 Nature is fallen.
Right. It's impersonal.
And if you're going to do a personification
yeah.
of nature,
right,
which the Bible does,
yeah,
it's always trying to kill you.
Exactly.
I mean, that's not the only thing.
Yeah.
You can see that there must be a God.
Right.
The yeah. heavens declare the glory of God.
Yeah.
I'm not discounting that.
That's right.
But when they were on the sea and the storm came up, they said, Master, we perish.
Right. The sea didn't care about them.
You
Jesus
know,
did, right?
I quoted in our last session,
yeah,
Matthew 7, about the winds blowing on the house if it's built on sand.
Amen.
People have tornado shelters, and they sometimes, if you have too much hail all the time, people build steel roofs.
Right.
So we're all the time trying to fight being destroyed by nature.
Yeah.
Because we're mortal, and nature's fallen.
Exactly.
According to Romans 8.
That's right. It's marred.
Groans and travails.
Amen.
But you go into the grocery store.
Yeah.
And there's a whole section that says natural.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's so hard to tell people
right.
that there's no spiritual value in being natural.
Exactly.
When I debated the emergent, I always use my mushroom analogy.
Right.
I found out, by the way, I did some traveling and speaking.
Yeah.
There's parts of the country where they have no clue what a mushroom, wild mushroom is.
Okay, sure.
If you lived in Tucson, you wouldn't find it.
It's too dry, right.
And you wouldn't find it in the desert.
Right, right.
So they don't actually have mushroom
yeah.
hunters. But we're up here in Minnesota where people can do that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I found out my analogy, not everybody can relate to it.
Okay, sure.
But the fact is, poisonous mushrooms are just as natural as edible ones.
Right, right.
That something is natural doesn't mean it won't kill you.
Exactly.
And it doesn't mean, oh, this is going to be good.
Right.
That's
right.
How people now think.
Right.
And so these books, like this Ann Voskamp,
yeah,
who I wrote about, she goes out into nature under the full moon and
yeah,
she gets close to God.
Right.
But that's not how we draw near to God.
That's right.
We draw near to God through the blood of Jesus, not through nature.
Amen.
And now, because there's all this back to nature, it's really hard to get people to understand the gospel.
That's right.
Because they actually think nature is going to save them.
That's right, yeah.
And I've told some people, they don't like hearing it.
Yeah.
Didn't you know that nature's trying to kill you?
I know. That's right. You know, it's interesting.
That's a personification.
Yeah, exactly. I know what you're... Yeah, you're
in other words, master, we perish. The waves of the sea
right
could have killed them.
You know, I think part of that, too, just culturally, Bob, your dad and you worked on a farm, and you know what it is to try to raise food. It was difficult. You had to subdue.
Well, and then I learned from my grandfather, who farmed during the 30s.
Right, without good irrigation.
He wasn't as old as my dad's father, so
sure.
My mom's father, I spent a lot of time with when I was a little kid. I followed him around on the farm.
Yeah.
He actually owned our farm.
Okay.
So I learned more from him. And he spent his whole life trying to not die because of nature.
Wow.
They had droughts.
Yeah.
They'd run out of water.
Right.
He had to overcome nature by drilling a 400-foot drill well in 1948.
Wow.
Which is almost unheard of.
Wow.
Because every August, he ran out of water on all the shallow wells.
Sure.
This is in northwest Iowa, which is great land.
Right.
But if you had any dryness at all late in the summer, the wells would go dry and you couldn't water your livestock.
Right.
And you'd have to go into Primgar with a tank and bring water back.
Wow.
So he finally drilled down 400 feet to get water.
Isn't that
something? I grew up, that's the worst tasting water. It probably was good for me.
Right.
It's mineral. It was so full of minerals. If you sat that water on that 400-foot drill well,
yeah,
we'd put it in a pan out there for whatever the dogs or the kind of animal.
Yeah.
If it sat for 3 days, it turned black and it stunk.
Oh, sure.
There were so many minerals in it.
It's probably good for you, right?
Yeah. Well, the point is, that worldview of anybody that went through the 30s as a farmer,
that's going now.
Their belief was the thistles. See, Adam and Eve fell.
That's right. They'd overcome the thistles.
And they had to pull out the thistles.
Exactly.
And they had to figure out how you grow food because they weren't in paradise.
Right.
So you wouldn't have to argue with my grandpa about that.
Right.
Nature was always trying to kill him.
Right. But to everybody who shows up just at the grocery store and it's
easy. Oh, it's just natural.
Right.
It's got to be healthy.
Exactly.
Well, some people are probably mad at me just for saying this. If natural is not a poison mushroom, go ahead and eat it. I'm not arguing with you.
Right, right.
We claim liberty about food.
Yeah, amen.
But we don't want to think like pagans and think nature is trying to save us.
That's right.
And that Christian religion is somehow a big problem.
Yeah, amen.
Salvation comes through Christ, who died for sins.
Right, amen.
We draw near to God through him.
Amen.
We're cleansed by the blood of Jesus.
Right.
Forensic justification.
Yeah.
So these ideas that somehow we can use the wisdom of man and be better off, it's rejected here.
Right.
So it has appearance of wisdom. Okay?
Yeah. Now there's a term in the Greek, Bob. I like your translation, how you rendered it, self-made piety. And explain why that's a really, I think that's a very good rendering, but explain to the listener how you came up with that.
Well, it's kind of a breakdown of the Greek word.
Yeah.
And self-imposed piety.
Yeah.
And it's thalothraiskeia.
Yeah.
Now, just looking at that Greek word,
thraiskeia
is one of the words in the New Testament for piety.
Sure.
Or religion.
Yeah.
It isn't necessarily bad.
Right.
Okay. You can have pure religion and undefiled.
Right.
Or you can have pagan threskia.
Exactly.
You know, false piety.
But the indication here is that this isn't something that's been revealed by God, but it's come from our own initiative. It's something we've made up, as it were.
Yes.
Our own will.
Clinton Arnold translated voluntary worship.
Wow.
Threskia can mean worship.
Yeah.
But I like the word piety.
Okay.
And the thalo part of it just means the will.
Exactly.
To choose.
Yeah.
Self-chosen worship, self-chosen piety. Another scholar says self-imposed worship.
Wow.
So there was an appearance of wisdom.
Yeah.
In these practices. And they thought, this is the way you do it.
Right.
And if you follow this carefully, you won't have bad fate.
Yeah.
Your crops won't fail.
Right, right.
Just like the pagans believed that there was a spirit for everything.
Right, right. Okay.
So if you were trying to raise wheat,
yeah,
you had to find out the spirit that had to do with wheat.
Yeah, exactly.
And appease it.
That's right.
Find out, and so this is all folk religion.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah, we know what works. You go and you do this, and you do this, and you do this.
That's right.
And then the spirit over the wheat will look favorably on you, and you'll have a good wheat crop.
Right, right.
Okay? So you had sort of this blend of nature and spirits attached to nature.
Right, right.
Remember in the Old Testament they had the groves?
Exactly.
Okay? And the prophet would go cut down the grove?
Yeah.
That's where you go and meet the demons.
That's right, exactly.
Or to practice your pagan religion.
Yeah.
And so I'm not saying you can't have a garden and you can't have a cabin in the woods and
right.
you can't go to the lake. But we can't think like pagans.
Right, right. Yep.
God created nature.
Right.
But what we know has to come from God.
Right.
Not pagan ideas.
Right.
Self-chosen piety.
Right, Bob. And you know what? It really enforces this idea that, look, religion, if it's going to be true religion, I mean that in a general sense, it has to be revealed by God, not self-imposed.
Yeah, it's not revealed.
Right.
This human wisdom
it's not revealed.
Is gleaned by various societies
yeah.
from the world around them.
Right.
The
right.
spirits and nature.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to a relative not that long ago, and one of the reasons they reject Christianity, this particular relative, now they go to a church, but I know that they don't proclaim the gospel there. What they would say is that you and I as evangelicals believe in what they call authoritarianism. And what they mean by that is that you and I have an authority that comes from a text, and they reject that. But what they're really doing is they're doing this very thing. They have a self-made or self-imposed piety that was never revealed at all.
Yeah, folk religion.
Right. So either we're going to have one that's revealed by man.
Yeah, exactly.
Made up, or it's going to come from God.
Most everybody's religious.
Exactly.
There are a few atheists who reject all religion.
Right.
Worship the human mind or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, you're right.
It has to be revealed.
Is it what God says or what is popular piety?
Exactly.
That's what's popular thing. Piety?
Right.
Well, right now, it's whatever is nature.
Exactly, natural.
But see,
right.
in the 50s, 60s, I'm old enough to remember, even though
yeah.
I wasn't born until 1950, I can remember most everything from about 3 or 4 years on.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Right.
But there used to be a literal TV ad that said, better living through chemistry.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Better living through chemistry.
Right.
No one would ever buy time at the Super Bowl to say that now.
Right. That's a great point.
Because that back then, science, cutting edge engineering.
They were overcoming.
Well, I went to study chemical engineering.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how we have better living.
Exactly.
My mom described to me the other day, because I was asking her questions,
yeah.
that when she was a little girl, they didn't have a furnace that would heat the whole house.
Wow.
They didn't even have a basement. They had a wood or a stove in the kitchen
yeah.
that they burned corn cobs in.
Wow.
They would get really, really hot, but if you got very far away,
get cold,
it would be really cold. we had a neighbor that was kind of backwards. They still had that when I was a kid. The corn cob burning stove in the kitchen.
Wow.
No central heat.
Wow.
Okay. So my mom said that her dad had the house jacked up, basement dug under it, walls put in a basement, house, a furnace put in there. And that was like a huge step of progress.
Right. Better living through technology.
Yeah, because now the whole house was warm.
Yeah.
And they didn't have to all the time be dumping corn cobs into that stove in the kitchen.
Right.
All right, now, in the 50s and 60s, we all thought human science and progress was saving us from nature.
Right.
Because we had things that they didn't have 30 years earlier.
Exactly.
Okay, we had tractors and cars and nice roads that were getting paved.
Yeah.
So that when the weather was bad, you know, we could still drive somewhere.
Yeah.
So we had all of that going on. So what I want our listeners to know is that every culture has its own version of wisdom.
Yeah.
Okay? Wisdom, self-chosen piety. And it changes. In my lifetime, it's changed two or three times.
Right, right. And
about what everybody, when I was a real little kid, nature was trying to kill us. Everybody knew that.
Now it's trying to save
us.
Now
it's trying to save us.
Yeah.
It's the same nature.
Right, right.
There's still our droughts.
Yeah.
And there's still tornadoes and volcanoes and hurricanes. And,
right.
And floods. But now nature's somehow trying to save us if we just live according to nature.
Yeah, and there's kind of a shift there, you see, from a theistic worldview to a pantheistic worldview.
Well,
it's kind of one of the
I'd say the idea that we had to pull out thistles.
Yeah.
Is a biblical worldview
based
on Genesis.
That's right, yeah.
Man has fallen. Nature's fallen.
Right.
You're not going to be able to eat unless you learn how to cultivate,
right,
take care of the ground, and distinguish between a weed and something that's for food.
Exactly.
And figure out how to grow it.
That's right.
Okay, so this self-chosen piety or voluntary worship is the wisdom of man.
Yeah.
Then humble-mindedness. And that sounds good, but obviously in this context, it's something bad.
Right.
And Dr. Moose said you could translate this false humility.
Yeah.
False humility. A program of asceticism and perhaps required fasts.
Right.
Okay. Colossians 2:18. Touch not, taste not, handle not. But this required false humility was probably a process used to gain visions and enter into the mysteries.
Wow, yeah.
So even today, in some religious circles, they have a program to somehow invoke visionary experiences.
That's right.
Okay, like the labyrinth.
Yeah. That's right.
There are crystals.
Lectio Divina and all sorts of things. Yeah.
They think there's a porthole where the spiritual powers of the universe come on in.
Exactly.
And if you get under the right one, you're going to get this wisdom that's out there in the universe.
Right, right.
But it's not revealed by God.
Yeah, that's the big issue.
So the default religion of the human race is paganism.
That's right.
And if we don't do anything else, we revert to pagan.
That's right. It's our default position.
That's where we go.
Yeah.
Okay. So if pastors forthrightly, carefully, and consistently teach the Word of God for what it says, which is divine revelation.
That's right.
Given by His own infallible apostles and prophets.
Right.
That will keep us from being pagan.
Amen.
And because the whole world is consistently trying to paganize us and going out away from the world into a cave doesn't make us any more than a different kind of pagan.
That's right.
It's the Word of God that's going to de-paganize us.
Amen. It's a stopgap. It's the only way.
Yeah, we've got to do it.
Yeah.
So, pastors, if any of you listen, You need to carefully, forthrightly, consistently teach the word for what it says.
Amen.
And don't just jump around. Get a section and preach it.
Right.
Because it'll help everybody that hears you get depaganized.
Exactly.
Every Sunday or whatever day you go to church, but for us it's Sunday,
right?
We all need to be depaganized.
Yes, amen.
Because the world's been pounding his pagan ideas into our minds all week.
Well said. You know, Bob, so many times I'll hear people, they will have an opinion in a certain section of Scripture, and yet it'll be a self-imposed idea, something that the author has not revealed and therefore didn't come from God. And it just shows the importance of verse-by-verse teaching, trying to understand what God has said. Because as you've mentioned numerous times, that is the only stopgap that we have from being pagans ourselves. We have to have something that's revealed by God, or we ourselves will succumb to a self-imposed piety.
We will. And that's pagan.
That's right.
And then it goes this false humility, okay, and probably used to gain visions and entry into the mysteries.
Right.
And then the next phrase in the Greek here is translated, I would translate it, unsparing.
Okay.
Or harsh treatment of the body.
Sure.
Unsparing of the body.
Now, Bob, was the term flesh, or is it sarx, or is he using soma?
It's soma.
Soma, okay, so the body, sure.
It's soma.
Yeah.
Unsparing of the body.
Sure.
And Clinton Arnold, whose work on Colossians helped me a lot,
yeah,
says, ritual and ascetic observances of those who follow the philosophy.
Oh, interesting.
We know what you need to do. Listen to us.
Right.
Do this, do this, do this, do this.
There you go. That's the wisdom of men. Wow.
And we see this being taught. I consider Roman Catholicism a Christianized version of paganism.
That's right. That's right.
I just was slipping around the other day, and there was an old movie on, and it was about some young kids that were drug dealers and drug addicted, just doing every kind of evil.
Sure.
And it was in the context of a Catholic church.
Yeah.
And they had to go to Catholic school and had to go, they had to do all this stuff.
Yeah.
But I just happened to flip in there, and it showed this young guy that done all this evil.
Right.
So he goes in, and he's talking to the priest in this confession situation.
Yeah.
And the priest says, you know, when's the last time you went to, whatever? Well, months ago, months ago. And the kid was actually trying to unload his soul.
Yeah.
He said, the kid was just saying, it's just so bad, it's so evil, so awful.
Right.
All this stuff. And so he was trying to just tell how hopeless his life was.
Right.
And the priest said, okay, 10 Hail Marys and 5 Our Fathers.
Wow.
And it was ironic because the kid's life was a total mess.
Oh, boy.
And he was trying to say, well, how's that going to help me? And it goes shut.
Wow. Isn't that something?
I thought, what a rebuke.
Yeah. How's that going to help?
They don't even know that you can have me converted.
Right. Change from the inside.
You need to go from darkness to light.
Amen.
From the kingdom of Satan to God, or the dominion of Satan.
That's
Colossians
right.
Colossians 1:13-14. That's God's program.
That's right.
All this stuff. See, why would God care? You said a bunch of Hail Marys, and
yeah,
why would he care?
It's irrelevant.
What is it doing for anybody?
Right, nothing.
The implication is self-chosen piety. If I go around and say all these things that some religious man told me to say, well, God must be happy.
Right.
Why?
Right, why?
Why? If you're Catholic, I hope you listen to this.
Yeah.
Why?
Right.
Why?
Why would God
when Jesus Christ died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order to bring us to God.
Amen.
And when Jesus said to Paul that he was going to send him to preach so that people could go from the dominion of Satan to God, from darkness to light, and preach the forgiveness of sins. Where is it?
Right.
What's going to wash away my sins? saying some ritual prayer that somebody prescribed over and over.
Right, right.
Now God's happy.
Right, amen. Well
and
said.
I'm not saying I'd recommend whatever the movie was, but it was very telling.
Yeah.
What good is this?
Right, exactly.
What good is it?
You know, Bob, too, and at conversion, we have atonement, we have forgiveness of sins, but we're also converted to the doctrines of Christ. We're no longer left to the whims of our subjective selves, but now we have a Creator who loves us,
amen,
who gives us His Word. We can be transformed by the renewing of our mind so that we think differently than the pagan world, and we start to realize that there's a God in heaven who has ordered the creation, and that He does cause all things to work for the good for those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. And as you've mentioned numerous times in your sermons, even as of late, Bob, that we can approach this throne of grace, and we can find help.
Hebrews 4:16.
Amen.
And this whole pagan Roman Catholic system is of no value.
It's of no value.
You can just plug that in to Colossians 2:22-23, and there it is.
That's right.
It's still here.
Yep.
So here it says, unsparing treatment of the body, not in, there's a word in the Greek, time.
Yeah.
It means honor.
Right.
Okay. They thought they were gaining honor.
Wow.
I did all that stuff. I've heard people say, we were talking to some people whose family's Catholic, well, this girl's going to go be a nun.
Right.
Why would you do that?
Right.
Well, they think there's honor,
honor in it. Right.
There's nothing honorable about being religious.
Right.
And the whole time you're still lost.
Right, without Christ.
There's no Christ, no forgiveness of sins, man-made religion.
Right.
Don't do it. Come to Christ.
Right.
For forgiveness of sins. He takes it away once for all.
Exactly.
From the inside out.
That's
he takes
right.
you out of Satan's kingdom, puts you in God's. You don't need this religion.
Right.
You need Christ.
Amen.
It's man-made. So there's no honor. So Clinton Arnold said they gained honor from following the prescribed practices of local religious traditions.
Wow.
You think it's honorable to go be a nun? Absolutely not. It's shameful.
That's right.
Do not do it.
Right. Amen.
Come to Christ.
That's right.
It's, you know, it breaks my heart. I heard somebody talking about that. It's like, oh, it's awful. These poor people, they're so blinded.
That's right.
And they think God wants this.
Yeah, and again, it ties into the idea of forsaking some perceived treasures or loves in this world. In other words, they're going to be without men. They're going
to
be without
married
family.
To Christ. But again, go to the Bible.
Right, where does He command?
All Christians who are redeemed by the blood of Christ, whose sins are washed away once and for all and forever, are part of the bride of Christ.
Amen. That's right.
These religious traditions aren't going to work. You're going to be alienated from Christ, not married to Him.
Right.
So don't do it.
Amen.
So I'm preaching kind of strong today.
Yes. Oh,
but
very good.
So what?
Yeah.
This is what it says.
That's right.
There's no honor in this.
Right.
They call it honor, but it isn't. And then there's no honor here in the Greek word says filling up of the flesh. In a sense, there's no way you're actually being saved from fleshly indulgence.
Right. It's not helping us.
Yeah. It's a false honor. It's not going to work.
Right.
And so they are religious. They are pious. But it's still powerless to hold the flesh in check.
Amen. And you know, Bob, what's interesting is the biblical remedy, as Paul lays out, for example, in Romans 12, where he says, do not be conformed to the image of this world. Now, this world is in rebellion against God. This world is pagan, just as you've laid out. Well, the way not to be conformed to the image of this world is to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. What God does at conversion is, through His Spirit, by the Word, what He does is He enables Christians to start thinking differently. And what we start doing is because of our faith, we start realizing that the promises of God are true, and therefore we start forsaking sinful things in this world, not in order to get, but because we see the inherent worth of what we are going to receive in the coming kingdom. And so what happens is we have new desires.
Amen.
We have a change from the inside out, not something that's trying to be imposed from the outside in, yeah, that both Jesus and Paul, amen, are reacting to.
Well, we're out of time here, but we need God to save us from pagan religion.
Well said.
We need to believe in Christ.
Amen. Well, thanks again, Bob. Look forward to getting into it next week. We're out of time, as Bob mentioned, from this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. We want to remind all of you out there that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. Both Bob and I want to remind all of you out there, as it says in Philippians 1:27, to stand firm in one spirit with one mind and strive together for the faith of the gospel.